In the wake of the damning accusation by Major League Baseball's Mitchell Report, which was out last week, New York Yankee pitcher Andy Pettitte, always perceived to be one of the good guys, has admitted not to steroid use, but to the use of human growth hormone. Pettitte says he tried HGH 2 to 4 times in 2002 while recovering from an elbow injury. His mea culpa implied that he did not intend for drugs to enhance his performance beyond what they normally are, but rather simply to recover more quickly from his injury so he could return to his team. In other words, his confession was also a statement of his own nobility. And he's not the only accused ballplayer to confess to HGH use as a recovery enhancer. Former Major League second baseman, former St. Louis Cardinal Fernando Vina, has admitted he used HGH in 2003 while trying to heal from injuries incurred during the grind of previous summers.
It got to a point that I got desperate and ended up trying HGH to try to get back and heal myself. It wasn't to try to, you know, hit home runs or get an edge. I mean, it was to try to get back on the field. That was the bottom line. It was something that, you know, it wasn't getting better, and I tried it. And was it right? No. Was it? It was wrong, because it was the wrong thing to do. I'm embarrassed by it.
So what exactly are human growth hormones? Do they actually promote healing? And how are they different from anabolic steroids? To answer those questions, we turn to Dr. Gary Wadler, a fellow at the American College of Sports Medicine and a member of the World Anti-Doping Agency. Dr. Wadler, thanks for being with us.
Good being with you, Bill.
Tell me, what is human growth hormone? How does it work?
Well, human growth hormone is in every one of us. It comes from the pituitary gland. It governs, as you might suspect from the name growth, particularly in childhood. It does have some effects in adulthood, but it's primarily an important hormone that governs growth for normal growth and development. It has been synthetically produced back in about mid-1980s for individuals who have a deficiency of growth hormone and may present themselves as being children who are extremely short, or adults who have tumors or vascular problems or trauma or surgery to their pituitary gland can no longer make growth hormone. And it's also used in the terminal stages of AIDS, HIV.
And do you believe that it does help athletes to recuperate from injury?
You know, the literature on that is really not very supportive of that. In fact, it's more of a hearsay kind of thing than any good science studies supporting it, although there's some articles here and there suggesting it might have some effect, but certainly no major effect. And it's really not an approved use of human growth hormone. There's laws regulating human growth hormone, which are kind of distinct. And basically, it only can be used for those indications which were approved by the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And fundamentally, the three I just told you are the only three. So recovery from surgery and from injury really is not an indication and can be construed as a violation of federal law.
Okay, so it's a little bit of nonsense when these fellows come out and say, oh, I'm sorry I did HGH, I was just trying to come back from injury. Having read A Game of Shadows, I learned that they inject HGH usually under a little flap of skin near the waistline. What happens then? So you have human growth hormone in you. Are you able to lift more weights instantly, or does the human growth hormone just build the muscle without your doing anything?
Well, that's a very good question. There is a condition called acromegaly in which individuals have a pituitary gland tumor and make too much growth hormone. It's sort of an analogous situation. In one case, too much growth hormone is from an injection. The other case, too much growth hormone is from a tumor. But in both cases, all parts of the body have a tendency to get large, including the muscle. But if you look at the muscle under the microscope, it's really not normal muscle. It's big muscle, but it's not normal muscle. And so what we've seen, the pattern, and I think you've seen it alluded to over the last week or so, is a combination of low-dose anabolic steroids and growth hormone in a cocktail fashion. And there's some evidence the combination of the two, is greater than the sum of the parts. In other words, 1 plus 1 doesn't equal 2. 1 plus 1 equals 3. And what they're doing, at least in competitive sports, is they take sufficiently low doses of testosterone to evade or try to evade detection, And because professional sports doesn't allow blood testing, they're not tested for growth hormones. So you wind up with a situation where individuals are taking both low doses of anabolic steroids and growth hormone in combination, not being found out by testing, and in fact enhancing performance. So I think that's really the landscape that's going on right now.
Yeah, and George Mitchell indicated he thought that steroid use was actually on the decline and that human growth hormone use was on the rise, was the emerging problem in Major League Baseball. Do you know, you're a member of the World Anti-Doping Agency, very familiar with all of this, when did HGH appear on the scene in professional athletics? We've also seen it in football. And I assume wherever they're cheating, they're using HGH. When and where, if you know, did HGH emerge?
Well, HGH really got a shot in the arm back in the mid-1980s. Prior to that, it was being used in some sports, but they realized that people who were injecting that form of human growth hormone actually were giving themselves the potential of a neurological disease, because prior to the mid-1980s, it was ground-up human pituitary glands that were being used to get the growth hormone. But in the mid-1980s, using recombinant DNA, they've been able to produce it in the laboratory. And once that happened, then the concerns about developing a neurological disease dissipated, and the growth began to increase. It's shifted to more growth hormone in recent years as we've gotten better at detecting anabolic steroids. And so those who are determined to gain unfair athletic advantage one way or another increasingly began to use human growth hormone. And when they realized the combination of growth hormone and anabolic steroids were synergistic, we began to see still a greater use of human growth hormone. And then all the publicity about the fact that professional baseball, the National Football League, refused to do blood tests, still was another, pardon my choice of words here, shot in the arm to the abuse of human growth hormone. And so there really are problems that have been going on for better than 10 years. It's sort of hard to quantify. This is all obviously done illegally and illicitly. And I think we're going to see more attention in law enforcement to deal with the growth problem
of it. Right, I got it. Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Gary Wadler. We really appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure.